Deb, welcome. This is our first meeting of the Ways and Means Joint Subcommittee. Our attendance is strong today.
Thank you.
There we go. Now we got a senator now. With that, we will start with a subcommittee orientation. And Dallas will let us know how we're going to go and what we're going to do.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'd like to introduce, first of all, our committee clerk, Alice Morton, is with us. She will be our clerk for not only this Ways and Means Subcommittee, but also your House Committee on Advancing E-Government. This subcommittee is one of seven in Ways and Means. It has kind of a unique role in that the role of this subcommittee is to review various information systems or IT budget requests for various agencies and make recommendations then to the other subcommittees or the general full committee as appropriate, and it has assigned by the co-chairs of Ways and Means. Just some logistics and procedural matters. We share this room with a lot of other committees, so you have binders, but we will ask you not, we cannot leave the binders here, so if you'd like, we'll take them back to our office and try to put materials in them as you need them and bring them back the next time. If you choose to take them with you, please bring them back the next day, the next meeting day. Please remember to do that. We will be placing materials in the binders so that you'll be able to refer to them on each and every subject matter, and then as we start going to new subject matter, we'll place new materials in there. The old can go into your maybe your binders in, or your folders in your office for these bills. What we're reviewing today will be the start of Information Resources Management Division of Department of Administrative Services. That budget is in Senate Bill 5502, so that's what you'll see on the scroll in the agenda quite often. There's a presentation in your binder at the very end. You will see a format for presentations for subcommittees in Ways and Means. This presentation outline was developed by the Joint Interim Committee. Joint Interim Budget Committee is being followed in other subcommittees and is proving to be fairly effective and useful not only to members but also I think to the public, and it's helpful to the agencies because they have been given this, and we should see comparable presentations from agencies so that you should be accustomed to or expecting the same information provided essentially the same way. There's a process that the agency will provide its overview. Department of Administrative Services, the Budget and Management Division, will present the governor's recommended budget for that agency or that division, and then the agency's personnel will go through in detail the budget request following a prescribed format. The rules of the committee, because this is a joint committee and because we have differing numbers of members, the rules require for a quorum a majority of both sides, the House and Senate. A quorum is needed to actually carry on official business. We don't need a quorum for public testimony, but when we get into work session to make recommendations or to make motions, we will need a quorum and a majority of both sides. So we will need the votes of two and two on either side, aye votes, to move anything out of this committee.
And I'll just interrupt there, and so if the Senate can't get together, we will ask the co-chair to come in and settle the dispute on the Senate side.
Yeah, co-chairs of Ways and Means can sit in, not only to make a quorum, but also to vote. So that if any point in time there seems to be disagreement, Senator Hannon or Representative Westland arrive, it would be to help settle the...
That may be helpful from time to time, I'm sure.
Since this is the first of the meetings of this subcommittee, our tentative schedule is the Information Resources Management Division we've scheduled it to last approximately 3 days, with next week, Monday, being a public hearing and possible work session, and and try to wrap it up with a work session and make the recommendation to the General Government Subcommittee on Wednesday. The General Government Subcommittee's schedule for the entire Department of Administrative Services, the week of February 5th through 9th, it will be solidifying and finalizing its budget recommendations to the Ways and Means Committee. So that if that committee needs the recommendations of this committee prior to Wednesday, February 7th. So that's why the time frame here. We haven't scheduled other agenda items just yet. The chair will be in touch with the co-chairs of Ways and Means, work on, he's been reviewing all of the other subcommittee assignments and the different agencies and the possible information technology issues. So probably next week we will have formalized a more definitive schedule out into future weeks. Again, the chair has stated that he prefers to meet Mondays and Wednesdays, although we have also Fridays set aside at this time, holding those in reserve as needed towards the end.
My smarts tell me that it'd be hard on a Friday at 3:30 to get a quorum, so we're going to try to not work on Fridays, but reserve the need to have to do that, depending on what our schedule is and how deep we go into this. Hopefully we can set some criteria going forward. Probably we'll take Dad IMD and be a little bit harsh and go down a little deeper than we normally would with any of, just so we can start looking at how we apply criteria moving forward, so we can just apply an objective standard on all others as we go forward on this. So the initial one, I think, probably a little bit harder. Then after that, it should become easier because the same like concepts we will try to apply to all.
Mr. Chair, I have a question. The substantive committee in the House comprises the three of you?
Correct.
Three, okay.
Thank you. We have now, I worked out with the speaker, we're now going to a Tuesday-Thursday schedule. So
every
Wednesday will be Ways and Means.
I see. And then Tuesday-Thursday at the same time, you'll be?
Yeah, be the House side.
Yeah, the House side, okay. Okay.
So.
And I'll try to keep our substantive committee, except he's not on that one, but I chair the one in the Senate, so we'll try to keep them.
With Tuesday, Thursday?
No, we meet on Thursdays at 1 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
1 to 3, just one day a week.
Okay.
We're the Senate. We can generally do it in one day.
Very well.
Unless you said too much to us.
In your binders, I have provided from the Legislative Fiscal Office overview of the governor's budget. You'll see our write-up on the Information Resources Management Division budget request. Following that is the presentation from Information Resources Management Division, and there is following that the detail of contained in their budget request document. Underneath, we have a handout from Budget and Management Division that they will be reviewing. So, following the presentation guidelines of Ways and Means, it would be the division or the division of presenting an overview of its operations, followed by Budget and Management representative presenting the governor's recommended budget for this division.
I'd also like to take time to introduce Debbie Bryan. Debbie, you can wave your hand. She is our IT consultant, legislature, this session. I convinced them that we needed to have a certified smart person on our side of the team to help us go through this. So she's available to sit down with members to help them understand what these things mean and to help us make some decisions going forward that I think will be beneficial to us.
Mm-hmm.
So she'll be around to introduce yourselves
mm-hmm.
to each of you.
With that,
call Ann Terry. So, are we ready?
Okay.
I believe so. Ann, would you like to come up and start?
Okay.
Who else can go? Who has one?
Oh, okay.
So
Chair,
no,
members
of the committee. For the record, my name is Ann Terry, and I'm the Acting Chief Information Officer for the Department of Administrative Services Information Resource Management Division. You should have in front of you a copy of a slide presentation. We're not showing you slides today. And if you will turn to the first slide, we're following the format that Alice mentioned. Our sister divisions in the Department of Administrative Services are going through a similar overview in the General Government Data Center. General Government Data Center. General Government Subcommittee.
Move the microphone a little bit, or maybe push it a bit there.
Is this working now?
Thank you.
Okay, all right. Is that okay? Good. On the first page, you see the statutory authority under which we work and the executive orders that direct our division and the mission to provide organizational and individual leadership within state government, planning and evaluating, consulting and provisioning for management of digital and other information technologies, and the efforts in turn help state agencies to accomplish their missions and support their business practices and serve the citizens of Oregon. If you'll turn to page 2, we have bulleted the goals for this biennium, and the first goal, carrying out the enterprise strategy for information technology. This is an important one, and it's a thread throughout our presentation. It certainly represents our program option packages and our budget requests are entirely related to the enterprise strategy. I've been paying close attention to the DAS director's objective for DAS to manage state government and to understand his view, which I agree with, that the single biggest factor in realizing efficiencies and productivity in government is through technology. Our roadmap, the one we have been using in the division since I've been there for two and a half months, we have been carefully focusing our resources in the organization. This would be bullet 2 on your chart, to how we implement these initiatives. I know that members of the committee, Chair Hill and Representative Patridge and Senator Duncan, have served on the Joint Legislative Committee on Information Management and Technology, and you have been briefed on this frequently during the interim. I think it's important that I may be repeating things that you've heard many times before, but I would like, for the benefit of the new members of the committee, to give a little brief history of what that enterprise information technology strategy is, who the architects were, what's in it, and what we're doing with it.
Mr. Chair, I might just comment. I really appreciate that review, even. I think it's good to get updated every now and then, so I look forward to it again.
Good. The information technology, the enterprise strategy for information technology, was created in 1998 by the Information Resources Management Council. This is an organization that's in statute. It has had representation on it, 27 people who were from state agencies, from local government, education, the private sector, and 2 members of the legislature were represented on that group. Senator Nelson, now Speaker Simmons. governor endorsed the strategy with an executive order. This was 1998 when the strategy, the information technology strategy plan, was adopted. The governor endorsed it with an executive order in March or February of 99. And I have, you've seen this flashed around a lot, but I'll have these here for you if you haven't seen them before. And this is a summary of what that strategy is. Clearly, the governor has endorsed it, and he's charged the executive branch, and particularly the Department of Administrative Services, to take a leadership role to see that this plan is implemented. Clearly, the legislature has actively supported the strategies and goals and objectives in the plan, and the committee, JLCIMT, has been updated on it. My first appearance before the committee in November, virtually every item on that agenda was related to this strategy. So another important point on this is that DAS and the Information Resources Management Division were committed to making technology policy and decisions corporately as an enterprise, and we have been provided with a forum for making those decisions as an enterprise, and this is the Governor's Information Technology Roundtable. It's comprised of all the major agency directors and their chief information officers, the different 3 branches of government, education, higher education is there, and we're to collectively address technology issues. The roundtable is chaired by Bill Wyatt, and their mission is twofold: to focus and agree on the key technology-related policies for the conduct of state government business that ought to be at enterprise level, and I think enterprise is the key word here, and to assist in the implementation of the initiatives and actions necessary to achieve the business and services outcomes desired. And advancing e-government is right at the center of the conversation that is taking place in the Governor's IT Roundtable, and I'm very happy to report that that group is reaching consensus on the issues surrounding electronic government in Oregon and its implementation, and you'll be hearing more about this in our subsequent hearings. But I thought it was important for you to know that we have a roadmap that had many people involved in designing it, and now we have a forum in which we make policy decisions around that strategy. So the information technology strategy is the thread through our budget. IRMD.
Would you prefer questions come later, or is it all right to ask a question?
I'm a, as you know, an interrupt and ask questions kind of person. I think in terms of the strategy was to try to let them get through the presentation and ask questions, but if you... Or a burning question?
No, I'd rather use this. I'd rather we establish a format and stick with it. So I'll wait.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. IRMD's role in this, we have various roles. We're coordinators, we're implementers, we're service providers, we have oversight responsibility, we review, we have many hats. And we'll go into that in more detail as we go through this presentation. And I would characterize we do have. Direction. The third page, these are the programs and services of the division. There are some of them, this is not an exhaustive list, but just to give you an idea about what kind of programs we offer. We plan and evaluate, we provide an array of technology services. In the bullet on managing the state's voice, video, and data networks, just to give you a flavor for what that means. We coordinate 750 phone systems. We manage service to 35,000 phone users. We are the sole provider of video conferencing for public entities in the state of Oregon. You could call us the state's internet provider. We provide connectivity to networks and to the internet. In the operating general government data center, we provide data hosting services for mainframes and open systems to 200 state agencies, boards, and commissions. We host and process the critical statewide enterprise applications such as the statewide financial management system, payroll, personnel system. We provide systems development consulting, analysts and programmers who maintain these enterprise systems. We conduct reviews of agencies and activities. I think you're aware of this through your Joint Legislative Committee on Information Management and Technology, the role they play there. We develop and implement standards and protocols, such as standards on security, hardware and software standards so that systems can talk with each other. And we deliver technical training to state agencies, desktop, end user, technical training. Page 4 is our organization chart for last biennium. I would move us right along to page 5, which is the organizational chart for the next biennium. This chart depicts the organizational structure through which we will deliver service in the next biennium. This might be a little busy, so I might explain it a bit. It represents the 5 sections in the division: corporate services, strategic planning and review, enterprise network services, that's where voice, video, and data resides, enterprise application services, that's where the general government data center, the systems development group I just mentioned, this is where the e-government application area resides, and where our geographic information system coordination resides. And then we have the statewide technical education program. In the broken line boxes, we've attached the program option packages that you will be hearing in detail in subsequent meetings, and connected them to the sections that these belong to. Go to page 6. In this series of 2 slides, we're talking about the services that we deliver and who we deliver them to. This is somewhat redundant. We've already talked about that we provide telephone service to state agencies, wide area network, video conferencing to state agencies and to all Oregon high schools. We have the statewide data archiving service through the Burns Archive Center. We have the statewide technical education for state employees through STEPS program, and that goes for state agencies and also not only in the Salem-Portland area, but in other areas. We provide systems integration, systems management, disaster recovery, data processing to state agencies, and electronic government coordination for state agencies. Slide 7 is a continuation of what we do and who we do it for: planning and oversight, IT procurements and projects, committee and staff support for the committees you read there, the JLCIMT, the Governor's Roundtable, project management for large and complex information technology for state agencies, security policy development, and geographic information system coordination for state agencies through the Oregon Geospatial Data Clearinghouse. Our performance standards, we don't have an Oregon benchmark that we tie to. We will deal with performance measures when we go through each of our specific programs, and the subsequent hearings we'll talk about those performance measures there. The factors that affect our services, I think, are commonly known by people, well known in technology, recruitment and retention, rapidly changing technology, growth in the demand and use of technology, and forecasting when change is constant. Past and future growth of the division services have been and continues to be dependent on customer demand. Slide 9, what our administrative costs are in alignment with the other Department of Administrative Services divisions. We have an analysis of what our administrative costs percentage of total cost is, and we are showing for 2001-2003 an 8.55% administrative cost. A way to think about that would be for every dollar we spend, 90 cents goes directly to providing services. That does represent a slight increase in our administrative costs, but it's from 7.16 to 8.55, and we relate that to flat revenues and inflationary costs of personal services and supplies. On slide 10, this is a snapshot of the budget that we are requesting, and it calls it out. As you can see, we're requesting $132 million. The breakout of this is in the 5 sections that we've been talking about. For voice, video, and data, 67% of the total is there. For the enterprise application services, 28% of the total is there. For strategic planning and review, it's 3%. For education, it's 1%. And corporate services, it's 1%. I would like to point out in that $132 million figure that this is yes.
You were quoting percentages. Do you have that somewhere else? We're looking at.
Yeah.
You'll get these in Sarah's presentation.
Oh, okay.
I forgot that you don't have that in front of you, but you'll get it next.
We're all looking at each other.
This is a 30% increase in our budget, and it is driven by the demand for more services. Agencies are coming to us for more services. And I think in Sarah's presentation, you'll understand what those funds are, what they represent. Slide 11, Now, this is, will be a familiar list. This is what I referenced earlier. All of these interagency and intergovernmental programs that the Department of Administrative Services participates in, every one of them is connected to the IT strategy. I would say all of these, maybe with the exception of two, have been reported to the Joint Legislative Committee. They will be reported in depth to you by the sponsoring agencies who will be coming before you during the coming weeks. When they are testifying with you, one of the analysts from Strategic Planning and Review will be here during that testimony. I could go through each of these programs. I'll look at the time that we have.
Mr. Chair, I'm wondering if it's possible, as she highlights these, just hits them at least, where are they located? I mean, is there a,
okay,
is there a place where they are? Or, you know, some of them I realize are this, the only person I understand. Some of them I wonder, where would I find them?
Chair Hill, Senator Duncan, the State of Oregon Enterprise Network project is a project that is led by IRMD, our division. The and this is a consolidation of wide area network services into a single contract. The Oregon Center for Electronic Commerce and Government is also located in IRMD. And this is a project that is a collaborative project among all the state agencies. And this is one that we are deliberating in the governor's IT roundtable and making decisions there about key issues. The Enterprise Mail Services Project is a project that, once again, the Department of Administrative Services, IRMD division, is taking the lead in the implementation of this.
You don't have that one.
Oh, you don't have,
we don't have it.
Enterprise Mail Services on your hand. I'm sorry. The Oregon Geospatial Data Clearinghouse is a coordinating function that comes out of the Information Resources Management Division. And the coordinator for that program, who is an employee of the division, is he works with the staff of many different agencies. If this list represents projects that are led primarily by our division with participation of other state agencies or many state agencies, or we are a participant. So far, all of the ones I've named, we've been a leader in that program. Of course, the statewide technical education program is a section in the division. And it occurs on this list because this represents a real collaboration among many entities to create the training program that we offer. The Oregon Education Partnership. This is a partnership that IRMD enjoys with a variety of people. We are in partnership with the Oregon Wide Area Network, OWEN. This is higher education in K through 12. The Oregon Public Education Network, OPEN. That's a partnership with K through 12. Video Distance Learning Partnership with K through 12 in education. And then the SOAN project itself is the fast packet contracts represent many partnerships. The point of our slide is that we do a lot of collaboration and a lot of joint projects and programs with other state agencies. We turn to the next slide. This is about cost control. How do we set up cost control? Most.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. You mean public safety data warehouse?
Oh, yes. The public safety data warehouse. That project resides with LED primarily, and we are a participant in that. We will provide project management for that project. The agencies who are working in concert with us on that are State Police, Corrections, Oregon Youth Authority, and the Judicial Department. We will provide oversight and project management jointly with this project.
And hosting?
Pardon me?
And hosting?
That remains to be seen.
And hosting, correct.
The cost control slide 12. Most of our revenue is from fee-for-service and rates. And you'll see that clearly outlined in Sarah's presentation to you. So it is important for our cost control that we're continually reviewing costs to better reflect services. We are in an ongoing rate review, and particularly when we reach a change in technology is when we want to review our rates. We commissioned a study from a consultant in August 1999 with Ken Hoffman to do a comprehensive review of our rates. This resulted in a rate methodology which we have been using since that time for all IRMD rates. At this, the other bullet on here is that over 75% of our services are selectively outsourced, and we see that strategically selecting what should be outsourced is another way for us to continue to find economies and control costs. So rate review, outsourcing, those are two primary ways that we control costs.
I mean, staff of the committee, if anybody would like to see that study, they did provide us a copy. Debbie Bryant has a copy of that and can come and discuss it and coordinate. So if you want to see the actual consultants work on what the rates are.
You might brief me, I've probably heard this before, but I don't remember. Ken Hoffman, is that a local, is that national, or do they?
Sarah Hill, Senator Duncan, he is quite a well-known consultant in this area. In fact, I think in the study itself, we have something like a 6-page list of all of the rate reviewing and rate setting he's done with many public entities. Sarah Hill, I'd also offer, if in reading that study, if we have people on staff who work closely with Mr. Hoffman, and if we can help in looking at that and understanding the methodology that we're using, we would make that offer.
Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, for the record, Sarah Gates, Budget and Management, and it's my job now to give you an overview of the governor's recommended budget. And you should have a handout that is titled the 2001-2003 Governor's Recommended Budget. It may not be in your binder, maybe loose.
Could you introduce yourself?
Sarah Gates, Budget and Management. And if you'll turn to the first page after the cover, I think it's labeled number 2, you get the numbers of the governor's recommended budget.
Yeah. Hold on a second.
Let me tell everyone's in the same place.
Is this the time to ask questions?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Why don't we stop and then we can let Ann went through. Go and ask questions.
I just want to ask a question about the administrative cost. You said it was 8.9% on page 9. I just didn't see it, and it's going to be given to us later.
Yes, Chair Hill, Senator Yee. Sarah is going to go into those costs in her presentation. Oh, I see. Yes, okay, slide 9. I'm sorry, Chair Hill, Senator.
So, Mr. Chairman, my question is, you said it's 8.9%. I just want to see the figures.
Okay. Chair Hill, Senator Yee, I thought this was in Sarah's presentation. It isn't. We will provide this information to you. I have a table that shows a comparison of our costs from 1991 to 2001-2003, so we can provide that to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just want to know how big is your budget, how big is your administrative cost. I'm pleased to hear it's 8.9%, but just want a few more figures to support that, that percentage.
Mr. Chair, I have a couple of questions, but one feeds off of Senator Yee's question to you. You know, I'm always concerned when they talk about administrative costs. You know, there's, you know, I think sometimes there's a difference between operation costs and administration costs. And I think people have a tendency to look at the administration as a bunch of high-paid administrators out there. Mm-hmm. And I guess it would be helpful when you came back if you could identify within the administrative costs, there are certain functions that are operation. You know, there are certain human services aspects, I assume, that you have to do. And so those are not high-paid administrators out there just supervising them. You know. So I'd like to see kind of a breakdown between administration and operation. Is that, am I clear on that at all, Mr. Chair? You see what I'm talking about, the difference? It's, as one who's taught organizational administration theory, I know people get caught up in those two terms, administration and operation. And administration costs always sounds terrible to people, those, you know, high-paid administrators. And a lot of functions are just things that have to be done. And so I'd like to have you identify the difference between the supervisory kind of things and the operational kinds of things, if you could.
Chair Hill, Senator Duncan, and members of the committee, we will come back to you with those costs, and we will have a definition of what's included in administrative.
And by the way, if you really can get that defined and put that together, you it'll be a first, because most people can't agree on that. I know that, but at least it's a good start. The question I was going to ask, Mr. Chair, earlier, when we're talking about the enterprise strategy and working together. And I realize the DOS has an interesting role to play as you work with agencies. Some agencies come under the jurisdiction of the governor, but then higher education is kind of an entity of its own at times out here.
That's true.
And you also have those that come under the jurisdiction of an elected official, the Judicial Department, the Department of Education, Secretary of State's Office, Labor Commissioner, and so forth. And I'm just was curious about their involvement and the kind of cooperation you're getting from those that really do not come under the purview of the governor, in a sense.
Chair Hill, Senator Duncan, members of the committee, I'll focus my answer on what's current and what we're dealing with right now, and that is how we deliver e-government to Oregon. And sitting on the IT Steering Committee, we have a representative from the Secretary of State's office. We have a new member from Higher Ed who is sitting there. And we've just, this last week, had to make a decision about three important issues. One was, what are the operating assumptions about what e-government will be? Another was, what is the management model we're going to adopt for delivering e-government to Oregon? And a third was an agreement that we would set up a peer review committee to look at what security issues and how each of us are delivering our e-government application. And interestingly, we had, and I just learned this today, we had a vote that they all agreed on that, including the Secretary of State. And that was very good news to me, because they don't, as you point out, they don't necessarily have to do that. But in this case, where we're looking at something that's so important as advancing government and electronic government, we're finding that people are coming to the table and they're being heard and they're participating in consensus building. And this is through the governor's IT roundtable. So that's the most recent experience. They are there, and they are participating, and we seem to be reaching consensus on some key issues. Does that answer your question?
Well, yes, I know that the Judicial Department is moving in this direction a lot. I assume that they're part of this whole team too, then you're having...
Yes, they are. Now,
the court system also is a, you know, kind of a separate entity out there, and I just wonder what extent they're getting involved, Mr. Chair, too.
We'll make them involved.
Well, that's... yeah, I understand that, but I'm just curious, because it's great if they are all working together rather than having to put the thumbs down on them.
Chair Hill, Senator Duncan, and members of the committee, those two last entities you named aren't on the steering committee, but they do attend the governor's IT roundtable. They're all there, all three branches of government. And
may I ask for the question then?
why are they not on the steering committee?
Chair Hill, Senator Duncan, that's a very good question. And I would have to go back, that predates my tenure here, about how the steering committee was selected. I'll get that answer.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions?
No, I'm looking forward to them being invited to the table. And I liked your question, Senator.
Chair, shall we move forward?
Yes.
All right. Once again, for the record, Sarah Gates, Budget and Management, and I'm going to walk you through the governor's recommended budget for this division. And I would refer you back to the handout that I've prepared and turn to page 2, which shows you the numbers behind this budget. And it is a comparison of the 97.99, the 99.01, and the current recommended budget for this division. And as Ann says, the budget in total is $132.7 million, and it includes 176 positions. This is a 30% increase, but there are some very large statewide technology packages in this budget, and we will be going into them in detail. I'm going to hit them today in a more cursory level, and then I believe the division will be going into them in great depth over the next few days. If you'll turn to the next page, chart here shows you how the budget breaks out by type of funds. The division is entirely other funded, and it is split between non-limited other funds and just straight other funds, which are limited other funds. And I do think it's important to note that unlimited or non-limited does not mean unlimited. There are restrictions on it. They are subject to allotment control and review and all of that. The non-limited side of the budget includes many of the large contracts that the division administers for things like the phone service, their training, the productivity improvement fund. So you get large volume going through here. And those type of accounts are used for things where customer demand, regulatory changes, or changes in price will really influence how much is expended. It's not, and it's revenue driven. So it's, you have to have demand in order to spend this money. You change to the next page, page 4, is an overview of what this budget will do. Why is it increasing the 30%? And what will it do statewide? Well, it does strengthen the organization of commerce and government, which is also known as the OCECG. It'll add system development and consulting staff, address statewide network security issues, increase the general government data center staff, which is in response to demand and upcoming systems that will be coming online. And it also assures the implementation of the state's enterprise strategy. And now, if you'll turn to page 5, this is where you'll get those percentages of how the various sections of the division interact and comprise the budget. By far, the largest component is enterprise network services, which is the voice, video, and data. And 88% of the expenditures in that section are non-limited. And so that is nearly where all the non-limited in the division is located. The enterprise application services is 28%. And the remaining 5% is split between the STEPS program, that's the education, the strategic planning and review, and then the corporate services. If you'll turn to the next page, that would be page 6. This is how the budget breaks down into the different expenditure categories. By far, the largest is services and supplies, and that is where you're going to see the contracts as well and your non-limited expenditures. And within that are things like about $45 million for telecommunications, $18 million for professional services. Data processing is another $13 million, so there's very large chunks that are very easily identifiable as related to these ongoing systems and new development and processing of data, things like that. Personal services is less than 20%. Capital outlay is where you'll see expenditures for computers and software that are greater than $5,000, and included in that is $2.5 million for software, $2.7 million for hardware, about $800,000 for technical equipment and $200,000 for telecommunications equipment, and there are some other little pieces, but those are the major components. And then about 1% of the budget is for debt service, and that is $1.3 million for this biennia. page 7 will walk you from the legislatively adopted budget for the 9901 budget, or biennium, which is the current biennium, through to the current service level budget, and then I'm going to continue to walk you through the policy packages, which will get you to the governor's recommended budget. Emergency board actions for this division through April 2000 get rolled into the budget, and IRMD had its share of the salary pool distribution that all state agencies received back in February of 2000. In addition, the division came before the emergency board for additional limitation for some Y2K contracts. They needed to extend the contracts, and that was about $500,000. Within current service level, there are a series of steps that are taken to adjust the budget to get to a budget that can continue the current operations. And I'm, for all those of you who have been on Ways and Means before, you're very familiar with this. And base budget adjustments are by far the largest, and that's $16.8 million. And most of that is an increase in non-limited expenditures. There are some shifting of positions between divisions. The print function within IRMD has been shifted to the Transportation Printing and Purchasing and Print Services Division. We've also shifted 9 positions to the director's office as part of the reorganization of functions within the director's office. And then there are some other actions which reduced positions and changed limitation as well. Turning to page 8 is the final component of current service level that comprises miscellaneous personnel actions, the phase out of year 2K expenditures that were no longer needed. They were one-time expenditures, as well as some consolidation, and that reduced the budget by $1.9 million. And then finally, there were changes in cost of goods and services, or otherwise known as inflation, and that increased the budget by about $600,000. Page 9 starts the policy packages, and there are quite a few for this division. Perhaps one of the most interesting is Package 241, which is to maintain the Oregon Center for Electronic Commerce and Government. And the size of this package is $8.2 million, and it adds 14 positions to the division. It'll enhance the center, giving more technical expertise, helping to avoid duplication of staff statewide. It will add an e-commerce manager that will serve on a statewide function, add a project manager to help oversee the projects that the individual agencies are doing and help them to link to Access Oregon, the state's portal. And then there will be 12 positions that will actually allow the center to run continuously, so that it will be able to run all day, every day of the week. On the next page, page 10, is more information about this package. $3.5 million of this package is for professional services. Another $1.5 million is for data processing limitation, and an additional $1.5 million for capital outlay. The funding for this package is still being finalized, and I do believe that will be something that will be under discussion when the division presents this package. The funding for the e-commerce manager and the project manager that are in this package, however, are covered as part of the strategic planning and review assessment. So some of the funding is already in place. Turning to page 11 are two more policy packages. Package 242 is for information systems security. Currently, there is a limited duration position serving in this capacity, and this package makes this position permanent. It will add $150,000 approximately as limitation and one permanent position. Package 243 enhances the general government data center team. About $700,000 of limitation and 5 positions, and it'll add some system administrators, database administrators, to keep up with the new system demands. Not only do we have the new budget system coming online, but there's a juvenile justice information system, a series of new systems that will be increasing the demand for services in the general government data center. Page 12 is package 345, systems development and consulting. This package is $6 million in 12 positions, and these positions are associated with specific projects to some extent. One is to manage the Public Employees Benefit Board automated benefit system. Another 2 positions are to assist TPPS, the Transportation Purchasing and Print Services Division, with their e-procurement system. And then the remaining 8 will either serve as lead system development analyst or manage these projects, and there is one support staff within the position as well. This package also includes $2.5 million of professional services and a $1.7 million of data processing limitations. Package 404 is shown at the bottom half of slide 13, and that is to strengthen the infrastructure of this division. There are packages similar to this in nearly every division of the Department of Administrative Services, and this package adds $188,000 in two positions. One is to reclass a support position upward and add another support position within the corporate services section, and that's in response to the increasing complexity of the job being done by that section. And there's also going to be a permanent supervisor for the State of Oregon Directory Assistance Group. There's currently a limited duration position serving in that capacity. Page 14 is my last slide in this overview, and this, the first part of it addresses fee or revenue changes. What I've specifically addressed in this slide is changes in the assessment, which is part of the DAS assessment, and it helps to fund strategic planning and review. But it also, the increase in it, which went from $2.2 million to $3.6 million, is solely due to a new assessment that was included in the governor's recommended budget to fund the geographic information system. It's $1.4 million. Previously, this was funded sort of on an ad hoc basis. IRMD absorbed it within their budget. There was a group put together to look at how this could be permanently funded, and the budget committee, as part of this group, came up with an assessment, which is a combination of based on agency size, usage, and a variety of things. And depending on how much detail you want on that, we can either myself or the division can provide that to you. But that will fund that section of IRMD. In addition, as Ann mentioned, numerous rates have changed within the agency. In response to that rate study, the GGDC rates being one example, they decreased around 60% during this current biennium last summer is when that happened. But those are not really, those are not what I'm addressing in this section of my presentation. And we do have no technical adjustments to this budget at this time. I would be happy to take any questions about my presentation.
Thank you. Sarah, how is this going to be funded, this $8.267 million and 14 positions? And it says other funds. So what's other funds?
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, I assume you're referring to package 241. The
yes, page 9. Uh-huh.
Well, other funds is probably going to be a combination of fee-for-service. And that is one thing that is really being discussed still. The division is working on a plan for how they're going to fund this position. And Ann, do you want to add anything about it?
Chair Hill, Senator Yee, members of the committee, this is one of the topics that's before the IT roundtable now, and that is deciding on a management model and how we will fund this project. And I will talk about that. I would like to be able to talk about that when we present the whole package, if that's agreeable with all of you. I think we might have more time and be able to be clearer about what our plans are for funding this package.
Mm-hmm. Follow-up question. So if this is going to be funded by whatever I would imagine you're going to do CPA or certificate of participation, COP. If you're going to do it by COP, is this going to increase the assessment to the different departments? And this will affect all the other budgets, wouldn't it?
Chair Hill, Senator Yee, and members of the committee, this would not be an increase to assessments. This would be a fee-for-service operation. Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, COPs have not been discussed for this package at the moment.
It's not being discussed.
No.
Uh-huh.
However, if in a fee-for-service arrangement, you would be recovering any costs of putting this center together through your fee-for-service. It would not be spread to assessment basis, you know, in an assessment manner.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but you're going to give us more detail on this.
Well, Mr. Chair, I guess my question sort of follows along with hers. As we talk about other funds, you know, I look at the total budget up here, other funds, the non-limited, et cetera. In a sense, we're probably talking about general funds in reality.
Yes.
And
a lottery.
For this particular fund, it would be other, but it's going to show up as a general fund expenditure in an agency someplace.
Mr. Chair, Senator Duncan, that is absolutely correct. Agencies that are general funded who purchase services from Information Resources Management do pay for those services for general fund. They are receipted as other funds and spent as other funds by this division. But I believe that Director Greenfield and Ann Terry are both very aware of that fact. Mm-hmm.
I guess, Mr. Chair, I'm not critical of you folks. I'm just saying, in a way, it's misleading.
Mm-hmm.
Or that somehow that maybe there should be an asterisk someplace saying that, you know, in reality, we really are talking about general fund dollars, but they're mm-hmm. going to show up in another budget.
Everything in this division should be asterisked by it.
Yeah.
There's no direct funds in it. It's all other funds.
Other funds.
That's coming in.
From the general fund.
From general fund, federal funds, or other funds.
That's true. It would be the breakdown between other and federal and general fund.
I think in terms of on this package, it's not just, the question for me, we're not going to start at how are we going to pay for it. I think the discussion needs to be what is this going to do? Because then we can worry about how we pay for it once we figure out whether it's needed or not. So I think that's the greater issue that we need to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it's a great idea, we'll all be behind it and we will figure out how to pay for it.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, if I could, two quick questions. On page 7, I think it's a perfect example of the question I asked earlier about between operations and administration. And for example, you've shifted 9 positions to the director's office operations division, and that's going to show up then as administration. But what are those kinds of? It sounds to me like they're more operational kinds of positions. So I'd love to see that defined.
Mr. Chair, Senator Duncan, I can't answer that question as to what those positions are that were shifted to the operations division. It was a combination of information technology support staff, people who support
the technical people.
Technical computer land support people.
And they're not administrators.
No, they're not administrators. These are the people who come fix the computers when I blow them up. And also there were some accountants that were transferred to the Office of Business Administration, which is now also within the director's office in DAS.
Well, that sort of makes my point about administration over. And the other one, Mr. Chair, if I could quickly. With the statewide e-commerce manager you're talking about, I'm just curious, within the agency budgets, will you see also an e-commerce project manager from time to time within an agency budget, or will that always be? You're trying to add those positions here, and I'm wondering if you're taking over that role, we'd also find those same people within the agency.
Chair Hill, Senator Duncan, members of the committee, I don't know if I have an answer for that for you.
I was just curious.
There are certainly state agencies are making their plans for e-government, and I'm sorry I can't answer you.
Well, I just wanted to see, could be some savings if you're going to provide that service for all agencies. Mm-hmm. Does the agency, can you give some relief to the agency if they have those kinds of positions? Satisfies my questions for the moment.
I would guess it would probably depend, but since the strategy here is to put all of these activities into DAS, you would not see a like person in an agency. You may see someone who coordinates with it, because in this model going forward, we can talk about it, you'll see DAS doing the activity,
mm-hmm.
and then the agency responsible for the content. So in terms of the agency can worry about their program and how they want the expression of their activity, but DAS will be responsible for actually delivering the end product out to the outside world in this model.
And again, Mr. Chair, I might say that I guess would that hold true when you're talking about agencies that don't report to the governor?
I would think that's the discipline that we provide here.
Right.
We will institute that discipline going forward in their budget, making sure that all activities are coordinated through, you know, these activities. So that, you know, the concepts out of JIMC committee, you know, are we centrally hosting, are we sharing resources and getting the most money out of the dollars we're investing in these expensive projects?
Right. And avoiding any kind of turf battle.
Yeah, there are no more turf battles.
Right, we don't only one turf, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Love.
Thank you, I like that part. Senator Love.
I was just trying to get, oh, you start, yep,
that's right, there it is.
Thank you very much, appreciate that. Good handoff. I apologize for my question. It's not so much about what are we doing here as how to read the document. This is my first sitting at one of these. So I'm looking on page 9, and it says Policy Package 241, enhance the center's technical expertise, and we've got 14 positions, some $8 million. And then I'm cross-referencing that to page 7, where we've already got 9 positions there, too, and we're talking about $16 million or so. Can you help me understand the disconnect between these two pages?
Thank you. Representative Lowe, part of this is technical budget development pieces. The portion on page 7 is what's called a current service level adjustment, and that is where adjustments are made, where programs are shifting between divisions, and that's the 9 positions you referred to.
Oh, those were the ones that you were talking about.
The director's technical staff. Exactly. The ones, the computer, the land support people, the, you know, help you fix your computer when you break it, as well as the accountants and budget staff that were located within the division. Those have been centralized into the director's office. There are some other shifts to other divisions. There were administrative actions. So these are adjustments that are made to the budget to get to what is considered a current service level budget, which is basically if nothing were to change, you've got enough funding to continue doing what you're doing. We've shifted some things around administratively, but there's nothing new here, okay? What you're looking at in page 9 is an actual policy package, and a policy is something that they're requesting.
I'm fully baked now. Thank you. I got it.
I think also to clarify, we're talking here specifically about a specific division within DAS. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about all of DAS, and we will talk about the shift in the programmatic thing where they're putting the desktop support into a different division and centrally manage that within DAS. So that's where you're seeing the shift coming out of IR&D over into a different division. And then
thank you. I was sitting here thinking 9, 14. These do the same thing, but I understand it a little bit better now. Thank you.
I think in terms of as we go forward here, rather than have Ann go into the next piece, we'll wait until our next meeting to go into it, that we can sort of have a little discussion about how we want to approach moving forward on this. And I can sort of lay out where I think we should go. On this, I've had conversations with Ann about how I think in terms of we can look to achieve some efficiencies in this division. The IRMD is having an increasing role as we're putting more and more responsibilities into this one to coordinate different agencies' development of big, expensive IT projects. In terms of, you know, Dallas and I were having a conversation, he made a comment, you know, liking it to, you know, we sit around and we argue about, you know, the cost of building new construction, and, you know, and it's a $30 million project and everybody is on top of it, and, you know, but yet we, you know, say an agency comes in, like the DHR, and tells us they're going to go off and do $125 million software development application, we all kind of just sort of glaze over and go, okay. And, I mean, the expansive cost of building systems today exceeds the physical cost of the buildings that we house them in. And so trying to bring in some strategies so that we can save dollars going forward. And some of those are, because a lot of these applications that agencies are developing are built upon common software platforms, is that we can save money if we consolidate all of the hardware, the equipment, into one location. We can look at strategies on how we license the software. For example, one product which is very useful, and many agencies use it, is Oracle. And so I've specifically asked, how many licenses of Oracle are we paying for in the state? And that'll be across all agencies. It could be that we're paying far too much than we should be if we were to simply sit down and negotiate a single enterprise-wide license structure for that software, rather than every agency going out and negotiating individually. Collectively, we should be able to reduce the cost and provide all agencies access to that core software, which is the foundation of many applications today. And so those are items, because of how that software is licensed, and it is very expensive and has continuing yearly license fees that has to be paid. There can be significant savings which are buried down in current service levels, which we could achieve going forward. Also is continuing on our theme coming out of JLMTC of central hosting of these things, that every agency who wants to populate the world and share information on the World Wide Web does not require their own web server. They do not need to go out and buy their own equipment. They can buy those services at DAS and host it centrally, because all it is disk space, and that's very cheap. And so, and we can share those resources going forward. That means that the expertise, as we see that coming into the budget package 241, is the foundational piece to provide the expertise that all agencies will draw on. Because I think as we go forward, as we talk about the strategies in developing this, is that we put the requirement on DAS to make sure that we have the equipment, that it works, that it operates, and then put the requirement on the agencies for the content. Because they're the program people, they know what their programs are, they can worry about what the content of that website is and the information they're giving to the public, and let DAS worry about how it is hosted and making sure that it is operating on a continual basis, and we should be able to see efficiencies there and savings and shared use of those resources.
I have a question. I think ideologically that model is very good, and I like that. And I'm wondering if some of the figures that we're looking at here contemplate such an arrangement. I believe they do. But my next question becomes, do these figures contemplate such an arrangement with the judicial branch?
They can. Well, I think we can bring that discipline and negotiate. I mean, it is different. It's even different for us. And when we talk about the constitutional separations, I'm mindful of that. But I think we can get over those issues. And they've been coming to the table and talking in the past about making sure that we, you know, are using the best use of our resources, and that we aren't, you know, building multiple buildings and building little fiefdoms out in agencies. So
empires.
Mr. Chair, is there any way we can see a cost comparison, whether it saves money to put them all in one center compared to they do it on their own? I mean, it sounds like it is a real efficient way to do it, but is there any way to look at the comparison? Because if you say it saves money in licensing, saves money in doing their own individual website, and also Representative Lowe mentioned, are there any agencies who are exempt? Because very often we talk about centralizing facilities, make it more efficient right away. Higher ed wants to be exempt, or some agencies, because of constitutional reasons, want to be exempt. So it would be helpful if we can look ahead and have a comparison, whether it really pays to build a building and do a centralized way.
And I think those are hard figures to ask and come in, because those are the issues they've been fighting all along. And my philosophy is, I invite any agency head to come and sit in this table and tell us why they need to be different than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And they are free to do that, and
they have a just cause.
And they may have a just cause, but mm-hmm. they will need to answer some very tough questions, and I'll be prepared to ask those questions, and I'm open to their plea to be different than everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And so the chair is open. They can come anytime they want, but I would suggest that they see the light in the new world and come together and understand that we have limited resources and we need to make the most of the resources we have and continue to push out e-government and access and giving tools out to our state employees to do better and more with less. I mean, that's mm-hmm. the reality we're in today. And I think in terms of we can come up and improve working conditions, improve the tool set that we give our state employees, and we can improve the service levels out to the public while doing this all together.
Mr. John, I might just comment, where you and I have been involved in this for some time now. I really do want to commend DOS and IR&D, because I think a lot of progress has been made, and it's, and I know it hasn't been easy. I mean, you are dealing with personalities and turf and all of those battles that go on, and we all understand those. We've been there, and we understand mm-hmm. it. But I think if I look back at where we were and where we are today, a great deal of progress has been made. So I really would commend the agency, and particularly IR&D, because a lot of work has been done. So, and I know you have a lot to do yet, but I think while we're sometimes being critical, we also ought to acknowledge where we were and where we are now, and keep working to where we want to get.
Yeah, I have a lot of faith in terms of yes, the short time and conversations we've had, and I will be mean and nasty to agencies. When Ann tells me that I should not be, I'll listen to her.
So if
anybody wants to go and get me to agree to something other than this, Ann's going to have to tell me. So I mean, I think in terms of we all need to sort of have this discipline in terms of so that we, when the agencies come, and they will show up on our doorsteps, and they will tell us about the long list of reasons why they need their own data center and why they need to do this,
They better convince Ann first.
and they better be prepared to come and sit in front of an open public meeting and tell the world why they are different.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
why don't you be a bit more direct about that, Mr. Chair?
Okay.
Make an appointment.
and we'd like to see some hard figures.
I agree, Senator Yee, that, come with the facts.
Yes.
We will
make them up.
That's right. And be prepared that when you tell us it, we're more than happy to stick that as a line item in your appropriation bill, and you can live with it, and you can come back to e-board and try to explain how you were different and you didn't have the right information when you told us the information.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I'm prepared to be tough, and as tough as you all agree that we need to be going forward with this to bring some discipline in here. Also, I am convinced that there is an opportunity here to look at developing enterprise-wide strategies on desktop systems. In as we see these budgets being created today, desktop systems today are in service and supply. And we've asked for very specific information. We're going to ask every agency for this very specific information so we can try to aggregate and understand the cost that we are expending every biennium to replace desktop systems and software, and then we will be looking at enterprise-wide strategies to reduce the software licensing costs on that, making sure that we are legal across all state agencies, that we are spending the very least for every tool that we need. And so through this, we're going to look at breaking out those costs out of service and supply, sort of going back to the way it was, because there may be opportunities that we can look at different forms of financing those so that we don't have to pay cash you know, those are business discussions as to, does it pencil out that we can preserve our precious general fund dollars and actually start paying for these products over the life cycle of the products, in terms of rather than paying everything up front. And so we, in this, where we have to sort of backfill programs, there's opportunities there. And I think in terms of one of the critical things that we have to bring into this state is that we don't have an asset management system in this state. So we don't know what the state owns in these assets. In terms of agencies, they're sitting on desks, but we don't know when it was purchased. Is it the right version? We have no control of these things, so we can start bringing discipline as to how we bring in these technologies. DAS is also moving forward with developing model office. I was talking to them about that. So, and I'm working to see if we can bring into this building a demo of a model office so that members can see where the technology is into the future, and that, and understand that by doing things that are called net appliances, we can reduce the physical cost of the unit sitting on someone's desk dramatically and providing them all the access in the world that they need, that we can save tremendous amounts of money going forward.
I think it's an interesting, Mr. Chair, as a technology committee, technically, so far, that we sit here with all this paper around us, and I visualize the day when we're going to sit here and have all access to all this at this desk.
Well, only if we can get our financial house in order that so the Legislative Assembly can afford to invest in technology. So, that was all.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and our policy, Mr. Committee, into this function. I'm wondering if we will have the opportunity to develop policy for, as a piece of equipment ages, to have multiple uses out of it as it move into other parts of government. And we may have to break down some budgetary barriers to something like that. So as a piece of equipment moves from DAS to some other agency for which it's particularly suited, say to an elementary school so that the children can learn on that particular piece of equipment, that may be something that we're considering. May I ask you, in addition to that, is do we have a disposal system for all of this, all of these electronic products have a shelf life, and at the end of their life, when they are no longer useful or practical, or you can't get replacement parts for them, they have to go someplace. And I think there's a problem about where they go.
Mr. Chair,
do we have a policy in place about that?
Once again, for the record, Sarah Gates, Budget and Management. Mr. Chair, Representative Lowe, the DAS surplus program does handle a lot of the older technology, things that have, you know, reached their useful life, and they, my understanding is that they sell them in lots, and, you know, they break into components, so they'll be 20 monitors on a pallet or something like that, and they sell them out that way. But we can get more information about that program to you if you'd like.
I would appreciate that. Thank you.
I believe it was last session, Senator, that we passed a bill out to make it easier for the school programs to get it. So we did take some action last session. And I can't remember the name of the program, but we did last session was 97. I can't remember. One of the two. So I think in terms of we can improve all of those functions going forward. And I think a lot of this is, where I'm hoping that we can get is that we can come up with some objective criteria so that as we go forward into other agencies, we can just apply the information that we sort of agree as a committee, this is how we're going to approach desktop systems. And so then we can go and apply it, and then agencies can come and tell us if there are any needed exceptions. So that we are only dealing with exceptions rather than, you know, we say, you know, these are the basic systems that we think there. We know what those costs are. You're going to replace them. Here's the rate. Here's a, you know, predefined ratio of, you know, system replacement. And if an agency's budget is different than that, we can deal with those and start talking about just the exceptions rather than the base assumptions. So I think we can save time in this committee, do the criteria up front. But in terms of in talking with Representative Westland and Lex Stinson in terms of, we may look at changing going forward, putting in some foundational changes that help future legislators budget for these things and track these costs, because the world has sort of changed on these costs, where costs have gone down, but life cycle on these systems have also gone down, because when new software comes out, the old system can't run it. And so you have to upgrade the technology. And so, you know, advancing, everything's reducing in terms of, I guess it's cross lines, where the lifespan of equipment is shrinking in terms of its useful life.
Mr. Chair, something you said earlier made me think of this. And I realize you live in this world ordinarily, I mean, day to day on the outside, too. But many of us don't, and I'm thinking even my substitute committee on the Senate side, a lot of new members there. We talk about all of these things, and, you know, I talk about IR&D and so forth, but I don't have a, I don't even, as the chair of that committee and being involved, I don't have a picture of where you are, what you do. I'm just wondering if it would be worthwhile to take an hour or so sometime just to go to your physical location and to see what's there. So when I say IR&D, I know it's a physical kind of a thing.
I think that's a wonderful, so we understand what the data center looks like.
Yeah.
What the equipment is, where it's at. And
you might find a time when I'd like to be able to invite members of my committee
absolutely
to join us, and I don't know if they'd be willing to do that, but it just seemed to me like it might be extremely helpful to us to have a visual picture.
I think that's a very good idea, so that we can, I'm a firm believer in visuals.
You might have something hands-on that some of us could even touch and see what, you know,
on the computer.
So you really want to take a walk on the wild side?
I feel daring today.
Chair Hill, Senator Duncan, we'll arrange opportunity to do that.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
Good, we can fund the deal.
With that, this will give you 2.5 days plus the weekend to come up with an awful lot of information so that we can start answering some of these fundamental questions and we can start a discussion in terms of how we go forward on this.
Thank you.
So I think we may also want to talk about the other divisional costs to maybe give just a brief overview of, you know, service supply and the other divisions, so you just sort of understand what the universe is. So that, you know, if we can't get exact numbers, yeah, you know, the best we can do, so we start trying to track and get a universe of the cost on desktop systems, software.
Mr. Chairman, is there going to be any savings in staff? I mean, they will have less staff when they improve on technology. Is this something we can foresee and put it in the cost comparison?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily agree, because the complexities of the software and mm-hmm. the hardware goes up when the simplicity to the user goes down. And so I think in terms of, it's going to be about, it's going to shift from one side to the other side in terms of, because we, I think there are efficiencies. Mm-hmm. We have a hard time in this state retaining the IT professional. And so our problem is not going to be reducing, our problem is actually going to be retaining and keeping.
Yep.
And so. Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Chair, along that same line, aren't you going to be enhancing the kind of services available? I mean, I've historically found that the technology doesn't just decrease personnel and so forth, it's a different kind of efficiency. You get a different efficiency out of
it. I think programmatically it improves, but in terms of some of these things go back, and over the time, you may shift resources and you may get to attrition. I don't see any huge wholesale personnel changes in this from the nature of what we're talking about.
We really are expecting more.
Exactly. And I think in terms of, you'll be, if we do this right, there'll be an increased need for it, because we're putting the right tools on people's desks and trying to reduce the complexity of the service, which means we need to put the right resources here. I'm not convinced we have the right resources today. So, okay. With that, objection, we will adjourn until Monday.
Monday.
3:30. Without objection.